turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. I'm going to take the message from the first 19 verses. To save my voice, I'm only going to read verse 1. What we see here is the account of Naaman. We read in verse 1, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." Again, these first 19 verses really record one of the most remarkable events in the Old Testament. Our attention is drawn to a man by the name of Naaman. He is a type, an illustration of the salvation of a sinner. And that's how we want to view Naaman this morning. We see here in verse 1 the person and condition of Naaman, and this describes the condition of Naaman describes every lost sinner here, describes what you and I that are saved were before we were saved. So there is a graphic picture here of Naaman. We see, first of all, that Naaman was a man who occupied a position of prominence. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He had one of the highest positions in all the kingdom. He was the commander-in-chief. He was a general of one of the most powerful armies of the world. Not only that, he had favor with his king. We read that he was a great man with his master. Naaman was also a man of character. We read that he was honorable. That is, he was loyal. He was trustworthy. He was someone that you could depend upon. We also read that he was a very courageous man. He was a man mighty in valor. That is, he was daring. He was fearless. He was a hero. He had many awards. He had the accolades and the applause of the people. He was at the height of his career. I mean, what more could Naaman wish for? He had it all. The world loves fame. Naaman had that. Naaman had fame. The world loves fortune. And Naaman had fortune as well. The world loves success. Naaman had that. The world loves power and influence. Naaman had that as well. The world loves distinction. And Naaman had that also. The world loves respect. They want to be in a position of respect. Naaman had that. Naaman had everything that the world looks for. He had everything that the world thinks makes an individual happy. In fact, if most people were to look at Naaman, they would say, "Well, I wish I was in his place." Or, "I wish I had the life that Naaman has. I wish I were Naaman." But you see, there was also a tragic announcement concerning Naaman. There at the end of verse 1, we read, "But," and this changes everything, "he was a leper." But he was a leper. With all of his greatness, with all of his fame, with all of his success, with all of his prominence, there was one drawback, and it was huge. He was a leper. Yes, he was the captain of the host, but he was a leper. He was a great man with his master, but he was a leper. He was honorable, a man of character, but he was a leper. He was mighty, a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. You see, there is a vast difference between the appearance of Naaman and Naaman's real condition. As people would look at Naaman, they would see Naaman in his splendid uniform, but underneath that uniform was the loathsome, deadly disease of leprosy. Concealed beneath all the glittering metals was that disease of leprosy. But he was a leper. And all of his greatness could not change that fact. Everything that Naaman had accomplished in his life could not change the fact that Naaman was a leper. Now, leprosy, as we know in the Bible, is a picture of sin. It would be a disease that would eventually spread over the entire body. Just as sin spreads over the entire being of man. And unless a miracle would take place, leprosy would result in sure death. And unless sin be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it will result in eternal death every single time. It does not matter what your position might be. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks of you. Just like we read here of Naaman, but he was a leper. You can add those words to every individual, but he was a sinner. But he was a sinner. No matter what else is accomplished, nothing changes that fact. He's a leper. He's a sinner. The future had no hope for Naaman. There was no cure outside of a miracle. He was a leper, and in and of himself, there was no escape. In and of himself, there was no hope. And as a sinner today, in and of yourself, there is no escape from your sin. In and of yourself, there is no hope for you. None. In and of yourself. Naaman, wherever Naaman went, whatever Naaman did, this was his condition. He was a leper. Again, nothing could change that. Wherever he went, he carried the plague of leprosy with him. Wherever he went, he carried the pain of leprosy with him. When he lay down at night, when he was all by himself, he was a leper. When he rose in the morning, he was a leper. When he stood in the court of the king, he was a leper. When he rode in his chariot, when he rode as the head of the army, the great leader and the general of the army, he was a leper. Wherever and whatever else Naaman was, he was a leper. And today, there are many that are rich, that are famous, that have everything that the world is looking for today, but you can add at the end of it all, but he or she is a sinner. And that changes everything. And unless something is done about that condition, the future holds no hope for anyone. In spite of all of Naaman's achievements, in spite of everything that Naaman was, unless the leprosy be dealt with, there was no future for Naaman. Only destruction. Only death. And that is still true today of every lost sinner. Lost sinner, wherever you go, whatever you do, and however you appear to others, without Jesus Christ, you're unrighteous. Without Jesus Christ, you are guilty. Without Jesus Christ, you are a vile sinner. Dead in sin, with a heart desperately wicked and full of evil, alienated from God, without peace, without hope, without forgiveness, and on a pathway to eternal ruin. Something must be done concerning your sinful condition. And unless something is done concerning your sinful condition, no matter what else you are, no matter how you appear to others, your future is not one to look forward to. Your future is one of ruin. You see, Naaman, though many would look at Naaman and say, I wish I was Naaman. Naaman had a desperate need. He was a leper. And unless Naaman is cured of his leprosy, he is going to die a slow and painful death. His need is desperate. And he pictures the condition of every lost sinner. He pictures the condition of every lost sinner here today. But you'll notice that God had people in place in Naaman's life. Naaman, God was going to work a miracle in Naaman's life, and he put people in place to accomplish this miracle. In verses 2 through 4, we read that Naaman had a maid. The history of it is that a troop of Syrians, one day marching into Israel, take this little girl, take her captive. She's carried away by the soldiers. And something in her appearance commended her to Naaman. And Naaman selected her as a part of his household. She became a maid to Naaman's wife. Now that was not just a coincidence. That certainly was not an accident. God placed her. God placed her in the house to be a witness and to be a testimony before Naaman and his family. just as you and I that are saved are placed in the midst of spiritual lepers for the same reason, to be a witness. We cannot cure them of their leprosy, but we can tell them of one who can. This little maid could not cure Naaman of his leprosy, but she could tell him of one who could. And that is why God placed her there. God used circumstances, and they were not considered pleasant circumstances as far as man is concerned. But he used these circumstances to place her in the life of Naaman. And though she was a captive, and though she was in exile among the enemies of her God, among the enemies of her nation, and no doubt though she often yearned for home, and many times would become homesick, she didn't just sit there and feel sorry for herself, but she determined that in her situation, though it is not the situation that she would have chosen, that in her situation she would glorify God and she would be a witness of God's grace. We learn a lot from this little maid of what you and I as God's people ought to do. But she had a burden. She had a burden for Naaman. That had to be of God. Because Naaman is an enemy. Naaman has carried her away captive. She could see the greatness of Naaman. But living in his house, she knew that Naaman was a leper. And she manifested a very loving and generous spirit toward the enemy of her country. And she says, "Would God that my Lord could get to the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover thee of thy leprosy." She knew that there was hope for Naaman. And she told Naaman, again, she cannot cure Naaman of his leprosy, but she could tell Naaman there was hope. You and I cannot cure the sinner. We cannot save the sinner, but we can certainly inform them that there is hope, and point them in the direction of their only hope. And this is what this little maid does. She knows that there is one who could help him, who could help him in his leprosy. And really, it was her simple testimony that caused Naaman to begin to seek a cure. Were it not for her testimony, Naaman would have never sought in Israel the cure. She acted as a signpost, pointing Naaman to his only hope. And we are to do the same. Wherever God has placed us, whatever job he has placed us on, whatever school he's placed us in, whatever neighborhood he's placed us in, it's all by design. It's so that you and I can point lost sinners to their only hope. We cannot save them, we cannot cure them, but we can point them to their only hope, Jesus Christ. And it is a sin if we are not doing that, if we are not actively doing that. We have opportunity all the time to point people to their only hope. You don't have to go into a long speech. just a few words to point them to their only hope. And that's what this young maid did. So Naaman begins to seek a cure. But Naaman, there were a lot of things wrong with Naaman's seeking. Naaman thought that he could purchase a cure. Notice he took with him, in verse 5, 10 talents of silver. That's about 750 pounds of silver. Why? Why is he taking this with him? Because he's ready to purchase. He's ready to purchase a cure. He also took with him 6,000 pieces of gold, about 150 pounds. And he took 10 changes of raiment. The king of Syria and Naaman had imagined that they could go to Israel, find the prophet, and purchase a cure. Naaman, as he brought the silver, the gold, and all the royal raiments, believed with all of his heart that this would be sufficient. That this would be sufficient to purchase what he so desperately needed. And there are many people like that today. They are still trying to purchase what they so desperately need. Many of them are trying to purchase and they don't even know what it is they're trying to purchase. But they're trying to purchase it. But what Naaman needed could not be bought with all the silver and with all the gold in the world. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you may think that you can purchase somehow, maybe not with silver and gold, but by having more good works than bad, somehow earn salvation. May I tell you as plainly as I can, you can't. You can't. You cannot purchase what you need. What you need today is spiritual life. It cannot be bought. What you need today is deliverance from the bondage of sin. You cannot buy it. You cannot merit it. You cannot earn it. What you need today is the forgiveness of sin. You cannot purchase it. What you need today is to be made acceptable to God. And there is absolutely nothing you can do to make yourself acceptable to God. There isn't anything that your loved ones can do. There isn't anything that your friends can do to make you acceptable to God. This cannot be earned. This cannot be purchased. You see, there's a real problem between the sinner and God. The sinner is at enmity with God. And the sinner needs reconciliation with God. And it is not a reconciliation that you can bring about. You Can I purchase it? What you need today, Jesus Christ has already purchased. He's already bought it. So what you need today is absolutely free at the hands of God. You see, it's not as buyer and seller that God and man meet. If that's the case, you have no hope. You have no hope. You don't have what it takes to buy. And he's not selling. All you can do is come and accept and receive a free gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So Naaman, he's on his way to find a cure. And he thinks that he can purchase it. But not only that, he went to the wrong person. In verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. The king couldn't heal a leper. Naaman went to the wrong person. You can just see it. Naaman, his entourage arrived proudly, very proudly, at the king's residence, certain that they would be able to buy a cure. They were certain that Naaman would leave the king's residence healed of his leprosy. But Naaman went to the wrong place. Naaman, if you will, knocked at the wrong door. Naaman is waiting at the wrong house. And so it is today with many who are seeking a cure for the deadly disease of sin. They not only think that they can somehow earn it, most of them are knocking at the wrong door. They're going to the wrong person. Many throughout the world are knocking at the door of a Roman Catholic priest. You're at the wrong door. Feeling that if they go weekly to a man and confess their sin, that they will receive forgiveness and be healed. Wrong door. Wrong door. You can't afford to go to the wrong door in this matter. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. Only one. The man, Christ Jesus. He's the only go-between between God and man. Others will go and knock on the door of someone who tells them that, well, you just need to do the best you can. Wrong door. You're not going to find healing at that door. Because the Bible says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, we read in Romans 3 in verse 20, in Titus 3 in verse 5. So there's Naaman. There he is with a desperate need. Oh, he feels so proud. He's got all this silver, all this gold, all these royal raiments, thinking that he can purchase a cure, but he's at the wrong door. And oh, how apt of a description of many today. Well, I'm just hoping for the best. It's all in vain, because it cannot be purchased, and many are at the wrong door. Naaman also had the wrong procedure. In verse 8, Elisha, who is a type of Christ, said, "Let him," that is Naaman, "come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in the land of Israel." So Naaman, with all his silver, with all his gold, with all his royal apparel and the splendid chariot and the prancing horses and his servants, they arrive at the house of Elisha. There in verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Well, now he's at the right door. And there he is, sitting in his chariot, surrounded by his servants. He's a great man. He's the favorite of the king. He's a man of great character. He's a man of renown, a man of great wealth, a man of great influence, a man of fame. And there he is, waiting at the door of Elisha, expecting Elisha to come out and to show him respect. Read on there. We don't have the time to read here, but you read on. He's there, he's waiting, and he's expecting Elisha to show him the respect that he thinks is his due. Naaman is a sick man. He has an incurable disease. The physicians of Syria, they couldn't give him any relief. The authority of the king could not give him any relief. The wealth of a kingdom could not give him any relief at this matter. And there he is at the door of Elisha. And at this door is his only hope. But you see, there's still a problem, because Naaman is still thinking that he's somebody. And before anyone will be saved, they've got to come to the realization that they're nobody. And that's the realization that Naaman must be brought to see. We see in verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." He sent a messenger. Certainly this isn't what Naaman was expecting. I want Elisha. But Elisha sent a messenger telling Naaman, "Naaman, you're nobody special. You're a leper. That's all you are, Naaman, is a leper. And that's really what it comes down to. No matter how famous an individual may be, what it comes down to is whether they are saved or unsaved. That's all that really matters. Notice the response of Naaman. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought." There'll be a lot of people in hell saying those two words. I thought. I thought. "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." See, Naaman still thought he was somebody. And Naaman was wroth. And then notice at the latter part of verse 12, "So he turned and went away in a rage." Story doesn't end there. Thank God. How many times we did the same thing? We heard that we were lepers. We thought that we were somebody. And we went away in a rage when we heard that there was only one way to be delivered from our sin, and that way is Jesus Christ. We went away in a rage because we thought we were good enough to purchase it. We thought we were somebody. But by Naaman sending a messenger, or by Elisha sending a messenger, Naaman comes to the realization, why, he treats me like I'm nobody. Exactly. Naaman must realize that he has no self-worth. You see, the truth is, the sinner, no matter who he is, no matter how high of a position that the sinner holds, and no matter what the world might think of this individual, every sinner must be willing to stand on the same platform with the drug addict, with the alcoholic, with the fornicator, with the adulterer, and on you can go. We must take our place with the vile. And so it was with Naaman. Well, we read as we go on here that the men of Naaman convinced Naaman. If he would have told you to do something else, you would have done it. Why don't you just do what he says? So Naaman is convinced. And Naaman goes and he dips himself 7 times in the river. And the leprosy is gone. Naaman is saved from the dreadful plague. He returns after he is healed. He returns unto Elisha and he wants to give Elisha something. He realizes he can't purchase the cure. He's already been cured. But he still wants to give Elisha some silver, some gold, some apparel. But Elisha refused it. The reason for that, because if Naaman were allowed to give those things, Naaman might have thought that it was purchased. What Naaman received was free. And if you're here and lost today, there is hope. There is hope for the lost sinner. That hope is in Jesus Christ. He is your only hope today. You have no other hope. You must come to Jesus Christ. You must take your place as a sinner before Jesus Christ and lean completely upon Him and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. That is your only hope today. Now, you can go from here today in a rage. You can go from here saying, well, I thought. Or you can simply bow to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior today. I'm telling you, He is your only hope. He is the only hope of any sinner, whoever that sinner might be. It can be a man who is of great renown. It can be a man that no one knows. Doesn't matter. You still come to God the same way. As a guilty, vile sinner. Don't look at the rich and famous today and say, well, they've got it made. Not if they're a leper, they don't. Not if they're not saved, they don't. I don't envy anyone who's lost.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what they have in this world. They don't have much of a future. God help us today. And if we're saved, that we might realize that everything we've received, it's been free. It's all because of the grace of God. And that we would bow to Him and serve Him like we never have before. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.